Great. Welcome back. This is Mike Rothman. We are here recording another episode of EIQ Network's EIQ Cast. I'm here joined with our product evangelist, John Linkus. John, how are you today?
Great, Mike. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today.
You bet. And as we're kind of trudging on through 2009 and starting to really address some of the key issues that we're seeing a lot of enterprises struggle with, you know, obviously there's one that comes to mind, and that's certainly this idea of, you know, deploying new devices, machines. We've got, you know, kind of little iPhones and BlackBerry Storms out there that are these new kinds of devices. But it really kind of highlights one of the big risks that a lot of organizations face nowadays, and that's just, you know, kind of configuration errors and making sure that you don't have kind of non-standard configurations and problematic settings on a lot of these devices that can, of course, open up security vulnerabilities and put data at risk from that standpoint. So, you know, one of the things that we at EIQ have been doing for quite a while is this concept of configuration audit, which is to make sure that all devices that are managed within the environment are actually compliant with or adhering to a certain set of configuration policies. So John, the first question I'll lodge to you is, you know, from your perspective, why is secure configuration important, and, you know, what are some of the things that it really eliminates from a risk standpoint?
Sure. Well, you know, if you look at, as you pointed out, Mike, a large enterprise, we've got all kinds of technologies, from a bunch of technologies in the data center, whether it be infrastructure devices or, you know, hundreds, potentially thousands of servers, to, you know, to the end user community, where you've got thousands or potentially even tens or even hundreds of thousands of devices, from workstations to you know, to printers, to you name it. As we're all aware, you know, security is sort of a lowest common denominator type of a discipline, right? There's always the weakest link, and the weakest link, unfortunately, is always going to be your most accessible your most accessible attack vector into the environment. So one of the great things that configuration management really does is it provides a uniform way of configuring and managing moving forward all of those different technologies, so that you don't have one server that's running some unusual service, or you don't have a firewall interface that's got some port open that isn't open on any of the other firewall interfaces that you have, unless it's needed for a legitimate business purpose. So really what configuration management is about is about, you know, providing a uniform implementation of your technologies, and ensuring that all of those lowest common denominator holes that are prime attack vectors are really sewn up in your environment.
Yeah, so, you know, we're not the first guys to, you know, come up with this miraculous, you know, kind of epiphany, right, that if you secure your configurations, you're eliminating a lot of the low-hanging fruit, you know, whether it's from a vulnerability or a patching standpoint or just a set of services that are residing in any of these devices. You know, we're just not that, you know, kind of leading edge from that perspective. But, you know, there have been a number of different organizations that have really blazed the trails on this. So, you know, I know you're familiar with the Center for Internet Security, as well as some of the standards that our friends at DISA have put out for some of the military operations. So why don't we delve in a little bit to some of these, you know, I'd say configuration guides, for lack of a better term, that can, you know, really help folks, you know, really kind of kickstart their effort to standardize and lock down their configurations.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, a couple of the ones that you just mentioned, the CIS, the Centers for Internet Security, DISA and the DoD certainly have their own standards, as well as does, you know, in the civilian agency world and in the federal government, NIST has a number of secure configuration guides called SCAPs. And really what these are the nitty-gritty, down and dirty, very detailed configuration standards for systems. There are things like, you know, make sure that the following access control permissions are set on well-known directories and folders. You know, make sure that unless they're required for a legitimate business function, make sure that these services are disabled. You know, make sure that, you know, your communications between systems are done through secure or encrypted technologies like, SFTP and SSH rather than, you know, unencrypted technologies like Telnet. So really what they're trying to do is they're trying to close the gaps on standard out-of-box configurations for operating systems. You know, when as we're all aware, one of the, you know, pretty much every vendor out there of operating systems and applications and infrastructure devices, generally their number one concern is not security, it's functionality. So often these devices, OSs and applications, ship out of box designed for more broad-based functionality, and unfortunately sometimes that functionality leaves those security holes open. So really what things like CIS and the DISA-STIGs and the NIST-SCAPs are really trying to do is provide a detailed specification on how you sew up those holes, and effectively balance functionality with security.
You bet, and that brings up another, you know, major complication for practitioners that are trying to secure their environment and protect their information, and that's the, change, right? You know, there's always change. We're moving devices. We're adding devices. We're taking devices away. We're adding applications. We're reconfiguring different access mechanisms, and, of course, every time you do anything to these machines, you run the risk of not just violating your internal policies, but creating security exposures. So, you know, one of the things that our customers find kind of most interesting about how we look at the concept of monitoring and security and compliance management is really this idea of factoring in the whole configuration data aspect of this as well. Because, you know, when you look at a typical attack, you see a step-by-step approach by many of the attackers to compromise a machine, then maybe load up some malware, then change some configurations, maybe turn off logging, a number of these things. And by auditing, you know, constantly monitoring and comparing these configurations to a, you know, policy, standard, et cetera, of whatever the customer is actually looking to achieve. Again, maybe it's CIS, maybe it's the DISA-STIGs, maybe it's the FCAPs that are kind of being put out there by a number of the other different, you know, government institutions. You know, really the point is it gives the ability to make sure that the customer is on top of what's happening with their devices. Because, again, the attackers always leave a trail, right? You know, they always provide some artifact that they've been there. Just looking at log data is probably not going to give you what you need from the standpoint of being able to detect and identify some of these attacks. But when you factor in other things like configuration data, that certainly gives you a leg up to figure out what's happened on that front. So I guess another question I'd kind of launched to you, John, is, you know, where are some of the leverage that you see? I mean, I've kind of just gone through this passionate discussion of why, you know, kind of it's important to think about configuration. But, you know, previously, that's always been done within a separate system, right? You know, there are a bunch of different folks that do not only configuration management and audit and the like. You know, why is it now becoming one of the more interesting aspects of security management to really start bundling in some of this configuration capability into, you know, kind of your core security management environment?
Yeah, well, first off, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, I've worked in many an enterprise where there was a dedicated team that was part of IT but not necessarily part of security, and really all they did was configuration management, right? That, you know, using enterprise products, they would go out there, they would ensure that, you know, systems had, you know, standard build configs, they would have these, you know, these guidelines or run books for configuring systems and ensuring that the systems were uniform. And you know, part of the concern was certainly security, but the reality is that most of the time that was done primarily for operational purposes, right, to ensure that the right applications were installed on the systems and the right services were running so that they could meet some functional business requirement. I think over the past couple of years, with all of the, you know, the well-known and continuing to increase in popularity, knowledge of information security and the awareness that all of these a lot of these security holes that are being exploited are related to configurations in one-off systems. You know, organizations are realizing that, you know what, that config data is a huge part of security because it helps to really patch up very common attack vectors that are used to exploit networks. You know, once an attacker, whether, you know, and that attacker, of course, as we all know, doesn't necessarily have to to be from the outside. It can be from the inside, and it can even be without an internal employee's knowledge, right? You know, through you know, systems that are owned and bots and all of the other wonderful technology that hackers have come up with over the years. Organizations are much more cognizant of the fact now that configuration data can point to common holes that really need to be sewed up in order to ensure that their systems are secure. Just as, you know, traditional security stuff related to, say, logon credentials are available. All of those things are critical for organizations to implement if they're going to eliminate all of the reasonably reducible risks of security holes in their environment.
That's right. And again, to wrap up this this episode of the EIQ Cast, again, what we talked about a lot here today was just the importance of thinking about configuration audit and configuration data and how that's going to impact the security posture of your organization. That's obviously one of the things that we've hung our hat on at EIQ, which is the importance of factoring configuration data into the entirety of a security and compliance management environment. And, you know, using guidelines like those available from a number of different organizations, CIS, DISA, NIST, any number of other places, you know, a lot of organizations can get a head start on protecting their information. That's really what we're trying to do at the end of the day. So with that, we will wrap another episode. Thank you again, John, for your insights and perspectives. Always a pleasure to be on the EIQ Cast with you.
Absolutely, Mike. Same here. And thanks for joining, everybody.
Thank you. We will see you next time. We are out.
This podcast was produced by EIQ Networks, a provider of enterprise security and compliance management solutions. For more information, visit EIQ Networks on the web at www.eiqnetworks.com. EIQ Networks. Security and compliance management, redefined.